The Central Oklahoma Broncos return 7 starters on offense. They have 6 guys back on defense, including an All-American defensive back, 2 starting linebackers, and 2 productive defensive linemen. They return 4 starters on the offensive line. They have 3 quarterbacks who have won games in the MIAA in their career. The Broncos have 2 receivers who are among the best in the league in 2018. The Broncos have a favorable home schedule in 2019. They have, arguably, the most fertile home recruiting ground in the MIAA. They have some of the best facilities in the MIAA. The one thing that Nick Bobak and his staff may not have in 2019, excuses. I'm Jesse Cordova. This is episode 3 of the MIAA Weekly, and today we're going to take a look at the 2019 Central Oklahoma Broncos and figure out if they can be a team that goes from 8 wins and a bowl game to the D2 playoffs. I caught up with Nick Bobak at MIAA Media Days in Kansas City a couple of weeks ago. We talked briefly about last season and how it ended, but we also talked more so about some of the holes that he feels he has to fill going into the 2019 season. You'll hear that interview coming up in just a few minutes. But to elaborate more on what the Broncos have going for them going into this campaign, UCO has a quarterback battle, which is not uncommon for this time of year in college football. However, they're in a unique position because their 3 quarterbacks, Will Collins, Chandler Garrett, and Keats Calhoun, have all won games recently in the MIAA. When compared to the situation like Emporia State, who has to replace one of the all-time great quarterbacks in their school's history in Braxton Marsall with a guy who's never played in the MIAA, or a situation like Missouri Southern, who's got talented players in that quarterback room, but again, are players that are maybe a little bit rusty, haven't played in a while, and are going to have to get used to playing at the speed of the Division II level. On the offensive line, the Broncos returned 4 starters. Among those 4 starters are 3 seniors and 1 Division I transfer. We'll go into more detail of the wide receiver position later on, but as I mentioned in the open, the top 2 returning receivers for the Broncos in 2019 were both statistically 2 of the best receivers in the MIAA last season, and yet somehow they found a way to fly under the radar for much of the 2018 season. When I spoke to Coach Bobak at MIAA Media Days a couple of weeks ago, 2 of the biggest things that we discussed were replacing some of the lost production on the defensive line, and who is going to carry the ball for the Broncos on the offensive side of the ball. We talk a lot about the returning talent they have at quarterback and at wide receiver. However, looking at the returning depth chart from last season, it seems like there might be a hole at running back. Couple that with the fact that the Broncos on the defensive side of the ball are going to have to find a way to replace 18 sacks that they lost to graduation last season, and you can see that as much talent and experience as UCO brings back in 2019, this fall is not without its question marks. To elaborate more on that, here is the coach of the Broncos, Nick Bobak.
Welcome back to MIAA Weekly. I'm Jesse Cordova, joined now by Central Oklahoma head coach Nick Bobak. And Nick, first of all, you're the youngest head coach I've ever seen, the youngest looking head coach I've ever seen. Have you ever had a recruit that you went to their house and it was just unsettling to them how young you were?
No, not really. You know, I'm an old soul.
Old soul. My mom always used to say that old soul is just an older person's way of saying they don't think you're stupid.
Well, there you go.
Well, Coach, coming off of a pretty successful year last year, you went 8-4, big win against Northwest. We just talked about it in the media room, also finished the year off with a bowl win. Just kind of put a bow on last season before we talk about 2019. What was it like for your program?
Oh, it was up and down. I mean, it started down and then being able to finish strong. You're never satisfied. There were some really great moments within the season. One of those that you mentioned, and then the bowl game win. And at times during the season, we played really well. I mean, played really well and had a great rhythm with how the game was being played. And it took us too long to get there. And that's really kind of the inconsistencies that I was talking about, is we've got to start faster. Now, the thing about it is you play good football teams, you know, early in the season, you know, one of those, you know, Pittsburgh State and Northwest Missouri and Nebraska Kearney. You start 0-2, and that was tough. You know, that was tough. But our kids were resilient, and our kids continued to fight and work together. So, you know, I think it is just up and down. That's really the bow that I can put on it.
So you mentioned, you know, in the passing game, you guys have got a ton of talent coming back, not just a receiver. Mm-hmm. You got three quarterbacks, like you said, that won games in this league for you last year. Right now, if you had to say, can you tell us who's leading that race?
Oh, Will Collins is leading the race. I mean, he had the best spring. He was the guy coming out of the spring, and it is what it is, you know. So at that point, you know, you just gotta, you know, guys, it's still an open competition. Kids have to come in and they gotta go play, and you know, we'll see. Because the offense, you know, there's nothing set, you know, and so being able to come through the fall camp and, you know, who finds the best rapport with everybody, you know, within the unit, that's who's going to play.
Okay. So sticking on the offensive side of the ball, you know, for all the talent you have returning in the passing game, who's going to carry the rock for you? When you look at your roster, the Sabor
yeah.
Daniels had 16 carries last year, yeah. And that's the running back you have with the most experience
yeah.
in games.
Yeah, we've got some young kids, you know, some kids that we redshirted, a couple kids that didn't play last year, you know, that are on the roster, and we've added a couple transfer kids that we feel really good about, and we're able to go through the spring. So we feel good about the group. It's probably as talented a group as we've ever had since I've been there, and that's including the years when Josh Birmingham was there. It's including the years that we had Jake Gandara and Clay McKenzie are all in the same backfield, and we feel from a talent standpoint it's as good as we've had. Getting those guys, you know, competing at the level that we want them to compete at, ball security, it's a big deal in our offense, so we don't know who's going to be the guy. That's a battle that's to be decided here pretty quick, and we'll go from there.
All right. And then the switch to the defensive side of the ball, you do have a lot of talent returning on that side. You're going to have to replace some production on the defensive line. Are there some guys that have kind of stood out in the spring, summer?
Yeah, you know, Michael Rios is a kid that really had a really exceptional start to the season last year before he got hurt versus Kearney. You know, or really was against Northwest Missouri when he gets hurt. I apologize, but he's had an exceptional spring and has done a great job, you know, through the summer and so forth, putting himself in a great situation to be successful. And I don't even try to pronounce the kid's name. He's KK to us. He's KK to us. So, but Kavik is he's a. You know, he's a big plugger along the defensive line. Played a good deal of football for us last year. But you know, and then we've brought in some kids at mid-year, some transfer kids that we feel really good about. And we're, you know, it's a talented group. You just don't know how they're going to respond to game situation. And we'll get our oil checked real quick against Pitt State and Nebraska Kearney again. So we'll see how good those guys are going to be.
Okay. Finally, do you have a tangible goal that you guys have set for this season coming off of a bowl victory?
Yeah, I mean, the number one goal that we've got in our program is to get our kids graduated, and we're doing that at a 95% rate. But then the only athletic goal that we've got is to win a national championship, and that is it. I mean, it's going to stay consistent, you know, that's going to be our goal. And we feel good about our roster. You know, we've got a talented group of kids, you know, on our roster, but there's more to winning in this conference than talent. You know, everybody knows that. It's a physical league. It's a consistent league. You know, from week to week, there's very few downs. It's mostly you better be up. And it's not human nature to be always on, and especially when you're dealing with 18 to 23 year old guys. You know, people have bad days. Well, how do you fix that as a coach and figure that out and try to make those guys as consistent as you can make them?
You are listening to MIAA Weekly. I am your host, Jesse Cordova. Email the show at MIAAweekly@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter at MIAAweekly. That was the coach of the Central Oklahoma Broncos, Nick Bobek. in an interview that I did with him at MIAA Media Days in Kansas City 2 weeks ago, talking about the up and down nature of the 2018 season and the amount of talent that he feels like he has, even though it's not necessarily proven, both in the running back room and along the defensive line for UCO this season. So we're going to start in the running back room to kind of do our deeper dive into the season for the Broncos. We mentioned in that interview that Sabore Daniels is the most experienced running back for UCO coming back for this season. Daniels finished last season with 16 carries and 71 yards. He is the only guy that appears to be a factor in the running back discussion right now who actually had carries for the Broncos last season. So let's look at the other players that are involved in this discussion. The first guy is a JUCO transfer named TJ Roberts. He's a junior, comes to Edmond, Oklahoma by way of Mesa College. Over the course of 2 years at Mesa, he ran for 2,000 yards and 18 touchdowns. The athletics website at UCO describes Roberts as a good athlete who has the ability to both to make guys miss and also to push the pile from the running back position. He's expected to provide depth at the position for the Broncos this year. The next guy to mention is a younger guy. He's a redshirt freshman named Peyton Scott. Now, Scott comes to UCO from Sand Springs High School in Oklahoma. In 2017, Scott was the Gatorade Player of the Year for the state of Oklahoma. He finished with over 2,500 yards and 33 touchdowns as a senior in high school. Scott is a little guy. He's 5'5" and only weighs 175 pounds according to the roster, according to the program, that is. He's described as being a shifty ball carrier who's hard to bring down and requires multiple defenders most of the time. He has great balance and speed and is capable of putting up big numbers at any given time in a game. The last guy who warrants mention in this running back conversation is a late addition to the race. He's kind of the, I guess you'd say he's the splashy newcomer from this recruiting cycle for the Broncos. He is a senior from Kennesaw, Georgia. His name is Taj Griffin. Griffin comes to Central Oklahoma after spending the last 4 years in the running back rotation at the University of Oregon. Over the course of his career at Oregon, Griffin averaged 6.4 yards per carry and scored 10 touchdowns over four seasons for the Ducks. Out of high school, Griffin was a consensus four-star prospect and was ranked in the top 70 by ESPN, Rivals, and 247 Sports. He was rated as the top all-purpose back in the nation by Rivals and 247 Sports, and was a consensus top 8 player in the state of Georgia by ESPN, Rivals, and 247. His best game at the University of Oregon was his freshman year on October 3rd at Colorado. He had 151 all-purpose yards, 110 of that rushing. It was his first 100-yard game and came on just 11 carries. The highlight was a 62-yard touchdown run. He also caught three passes for 41 yards in that game. For his freshman season, which was the best season that he had in Eugene, in 2015, he finished second on the team with 570 yards rushing on 77 carries with three touchdowns. After that, he slid down the depth chart after each season, and in 2018, he carried the ball just six times for 31 yards. So with all that being said, you can see where Coach Bobak gets his optimism when it comes to the running back position. Even though they only have less than 20 carries and less than 75 yards rushing returning from the running back position from last season, Bobak feels like this is a group that's talented enough to be more than capable to keep their offense multidimensional. I told you I would get more into the stats for the two top wide receivers for UCO. Those guys are Mekale Hall and Dustin Basques. We'll start with Basques, who is a senior from Claremore, Oklahoma. Last season, Basques had 67 catches for 909 yards and 7 touchdowns. Those numbers were good for number 2 in the MIAA in total yards receiving, 3rd in the MIAA in receptions, and was top 5 in the MIAA in receiving touchdowns. Basques is another guy who's not real big, only about 5'9", and is listed at 155 pounds. However, he doubles as the team's kick returner and is a guy who has proven himself to be a very, very dangerous all-around, all-purpose type weapon for the Broncos. I would expect to see his role expand even more going into his senior year in 2019. Mecale Hall was a freshman in 2018, and in his first season of college football, he finished third in the MIAA in yards per reception, averaging just a shade under 19 yards per catch. He finished the year with 37 catches for 698 yards and 3 touchdowns. As a case in point, in the Broncos' bowl win over Angelo State to close out the season, Hall caught the ball just 3 times. But with those 3 catches, he went for 101 yards and a touchdown. Having those guys on the outside for whoever wins the quarterback position is obviously a major advantage for UCO going into 2019. You heard Coach Bobek say that right now Will Collins is in the driver's seat for the quarterback job in Edmond this fall. In 2018, Collins started 7 games, had a QB efficiency rating of 158.1, he threw for 1,759 yards and 14 touchdowns to just 4 interceptions, and he did all this while completing 64.1% of his passes, which was the best mark of all 3 quarterbacks who saw time on the field last season. If you project out his stats over the course of 11 starts, that would equal just under 2,800 yards passing with 22 touchdowns and about 6 interceptions. Those stats would have made him one of the 2 or 3 best quarterbacks in the league behind Offensive Player of the Year Braxton Marstall from Emporia State and Northwest Missouri State Freshman of the Year quarterback Braden Wright. If Will Collins is able to build on that performance from 2018 and hold on to this job, then the UCO Broncos are going to have one of the most potent offenses in the league in 2019. Flipping sides of the ball to the defensive side, the Broncos defense is going to be paced by a very talented, very experienced, and very opportunistic defensive secondary. The straw that stirs the drink in that unit, All-American O'Shea Harris. Harris is a senior, 6'1", 190-pound safety from Ardmore, Oklahoma. Quite possibly the most talented defensive back returning to the MIAA this year. He had 4 total turnovers last season to go along with 74 tackles, including 3 tackles for loss, on his way to being named All-Region and All-American by AFCA, Don Hansen, and D2Football.com. The shutdown corner on the defense is a sophomore out of Arlington, Texas, by the name of Colby Underwood. Last season, as a freshman, Underwood played in all 12 games, including 4 starts to end the season. He had 27 tackles and 2 interceptions, but he also had 3 other pass breakups aside from those 2 picks. Underwood is a kid who will most likely be on the short list to receive all MIAA recognition at season's end this year. At linebacker, while the Broncos say goodbye to leading tackler Colton Lindsay, they do return 2 experienced linebackers in Dylan Hall and Brian Burns. Burns is a senior, 6 foot, 215 pounder, out of Lawton, Oklahoma, who came to UCO after 2 seasons at NEO A&M. Dylan Hall is another senior who transferred to UCO out of NEO A&M. He comes from Edmond, Oklahoma, 6 foot, 230 pounder. He made 54 tackles a season ago, including 2.5 behind the line. He also had a sack last season as one of only 3 players returning in 2019 for the Broncos defense who actually brought the quarterback down in 2018. The defensive line is where things get a little tricky for the Broncos in 2019. You heard me mention earlier in the show that the Broncos lost 18 sacks worth of production from their defensive line last year. The only 3 returners who have a sack are the aforementioned Hall, Mike Rios, who Coach Bobek mentioned in his interview, and the man he affectionately refers to as KK, and who has the honor of being the first name that I attempt and ultimately butcher during our preview series, Kahiwai I'm not going to try it. I changed my mind. He has six A's in his last name, and it starts with a K. So I'm going to go with Coach Bobek and call him KK. Those three players had one sack each in last season's campaign. But when you look at the roster and look at some of the newcomers who were expected to contribute in 2019, there's a lot of big boys that are expected to be in that defensive tackle rotation, but you don't see a lot of guys that look like rush ends. Some of the names to keep an eye on are Derek Shaw, who's a redshirt freshman who transferred to UCO this year from Division I North Texas. You have Richard Desir Jones, who's a transfer from Coffeyville Community College. Now, he is a guy who is listed as a rush end. The aforementioned KK and Mike Rios are going to be key factors on the defensive line this year. Corey Brown's a defensive tackle who transferred to UCO from Arizona Western, another big guy. And then they have a returning defensive tackle named Stephon Starks, who transferred last season from Independence Community College. So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on the defensive line for UCO in 2019 to see if it's a unit that is able to get a lot of pressure on the quarterback up the middle, or if the defensive staff is going to have to design a lot of blitzes from the defensive secondary and linebackers to get pressure on the quarterback in third down passing situations. Okay, so now that we've looked at all the talent that's going to be on the field for the Broncos in 2019, it's time to look at the schedule. Again, in case you didn't listen to the Missouri Southern preview episode, I'm not going to be in the business of saying this is a 9-win team, this is a 10-win team, this team needs to make the playoffs or it's a disappointment. That's just not the kind of show I want this to be. So for something different, what I like to do is look at the schedule of each team and kind of point out what is the key sort of stretch that's sort of going to define their season. In the case of Central Oklahoma, it's basically the first half of the season. They play their opener at home against a very, very talented Pittsburgh State team. Pittsburgh State and Central Oklahoma are most likely going to finish number 3 and number 4 in the league if projections hold. This game is, without question, the game of the week in the MIAA to start the season, in my opinion. If UCO wins that game, then they put themselves in very, very favorable position to accomplish one of their goals, which is to make the D2 playoffs. Because on September 28th and October 5th, they travel to Maryville to play Northwest Missouri State, and then they host Fort Hays State the next week. My thought is that if UCO has two or less losses after the first 5 weeks of the season, and again, those first 5 weeks, they play Pitt State, Northwest, and Fort Hays State, then I think that there's a very, very strong possibility that when they close out the regular season at Emporia State in week 11, that there's a strong chance that the Broncos might be playing for a spot in the D2 playoffs. Everything has to go right. They can't have slip-ups like they did last season against Nebraska Kearney or the late one-touchdown loss to Emporia State. But if they take care of business and they win the games they're supposed to, and if they only have two losses or less after the first 5 weeks, then I really do think that the Broncos are a talented enough team with a favorable enough schedule that they could find themselves playing in the D2 playoffs after finishing the last two seasons 8-4. This is MIAA Weekly. I'm your host, Jesse Cordova. Email the show at miaaweekly@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter at miaaweekly. Thank you so much for clicking on the link and enjoying the project. I really, really appreciate it. In episode 4, we're going to travel to the jungle, as they like to call it, as we break down the Pittsburgh State Gorillas. Coming off of a disappointing season in more ways than one, the Gorillas return as much talent as probably anyone else in the league in 2019. If they sort out their quarterback situation, they might be a sleeper to knock off Northwest or Fort Hays State and make a push for the playoffs. We'll have a conversation with Coach Beck and look at just how stacked that defense is in the next episode. Until next time, I'm Jesse Cordova. Thank you for listening to MIAA Weekly. Daps, handshakes, and high fives all around.